The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Right, baby, it is cold outside, but it's kind of warm in here, which is nice. And warming things up quite nicely are the guests around the table. This is January's edition of the EvoStick NPL show, and we're joined by less people than we're here for the big time, New Year's special, which we did last month, big time Charlie's. Instead, we're joined by the hardcore. To my left, from the non-league review, we've got Stuart James. Hello.
Hello.
We've got Swamper from FCM Radio and Five Live.
Good evening. Greetings and salutations.
Over here, we've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, also sponsored by EvoStick.
Hello.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Daily Mirror.
Hello.
And from Salford City, we've got Laura Flint, social media bod.
Good evening.
And Anthony Johnson.
Hello.
Hello. Well, welcome everyone to the show. I suppose it's customary to start up at the top. You're looking at me like I'm doing a sermon. Stop staring at me.
I'm wondering why you actually had to tell the listener exactly where we were all sat.
Anyway, let's start. Enough of this rambling on. Let's start with the top of the EvoStick NPL. Aaron Flanagan, I'm going to start with you.
Oh dear.
Now, come on. Kurz and Ashton, are they in the mix?
Yeah, we're still in the mix.
Are you going to win the league?
Probably doesn't look like it at the moment.
Oh.
We're still in with a shot, aren't we? You know, we're still up there with... maybe not have the best starts to 2015 possible. We're on quite a poor run of form, to be honest. We're quite near the bottom of the form table. We struggle through injuries, a few suspensions for a couple of silly red cards, but we've got players coming back now. We'll be back to full strength soon, and hopefully picking up results again. We got an important win against Stanford a couple of weeks ago, and getting back.
But every team's bound to have a bad patch at one point or another. Is it good to get this bad patch out of the way now in January and then kick on in February?
I think the general feeling is that we're doing all right. We didn't do too badly at Blyth, where we went down quite unlucky at the weekend. We were 1-0 up at half time, and then second half they just upped their game. Blyth were a good side, and unfortunately one defensive howler. If you haven't seen the video, go on Blyth's Twitter and watch the video. It is a howler.
Walk us through it, go on.
Basically, long ball over the top. Our defenders tried to volley it and just completely missed the ball. Happy days. Well, not happy days, it was miserable days. It was quite a long journey, but we're playing all right at the moment, and I'm confident that we'll still be up in at least the top three.
Now, at the moment in time, Swamp, I'm going to come to you because you've got a dog in this race. SC United, there or thereabouts. Seventh, though, but that goes to show you just how open the title race is.
Yeah, I mean, I think... we're talking about the title race itself, but I'll stick with FC United initially. I mean, one defeat in 20 now, going for the FA Trophy in the quarterfinals as well. And, you look back at the beginning of the season, we had all those draws. I think we were drawing week in, week out. I think we've had 9 draws in total. But once you get onto a bit of a run and the momentum's going, I think other teams that have played against us have certainly seen the wrath of FC United, and, they have put them to the sword. And the one thing that's been very impressive is the fact that they've won games in different manners. It's not been just the fast flowing football of FC United and Manchester. It's been, get stuck in, match players for in challenges, work the ball if needs be, play the ball long if needs be, and they've acquitted themselves very, very well. And huge amount of games in they've got against the likes of Skem. But again, you were talking about teams that have had, been doing really well and then a bit of a bump, and that was Skem Surrey, but they've ridden that storm now, and I don't expect Skem really to have that many problems again for the rest of the season. They've got quite a lot of easier teams, if the truth be known, compared to the likes of FC, who have got to play Workington twice. They've got to play Skem yet, they've got to play Ilkeston, which they do this weekend, so there's a lot of big games coming. But I just said the momentum for FC United at this moment in time, this is the season of all seasons to win the league. It's not at its strongest compared to the last 2 or 3 seasons, in all fairness. That's no disrespect to the other teams in there, but it's not. And FC United, with the quality of players that they've got, and also having 24, 25 players and all happy at the club, you know, it's a massively strong bench together with the likes of Shelton Payne that's coming, and that's a huge acquisition for the running to the end of the season.
You had something to say?
Yeah, no, I was going to say the reason FC are doing so well at the moment is because they're not conceding goals. That's one of the crucial things. They're built from the back. Earlier in the season, FC games, you know, you were looking at them and they were tending to be goal fests. They were conceding a lot of goals. They're not conceding them now, and that's why they've turned the form.
You know, well, the best defensive record in the league, 23 goals conceded all season. You know, that's superb. You know, compared to, you know, I think it's Workington are probably the next best with you know, conceding 29. But I think to concede 23 scoring goals as well. You know, 41 goals scored this season. And as I say, I think really, but just going back to that top five, you know, and the promotion race, that top five at this moment in time, there or thereabouts, they'll be the top five at the end of the season. I really believe that. You know, there may be a few teams that may slip out and then come back into it, but I think
so.
You
heard it here first. FC United will not be in the playoffs.
I was just saying about FC, they do it every year, don't they? Bit of a sluggish start and then sort of pull away after Christmas again, and I don't think you can discount that, mate. I think they get into whatever Margie does within his changing room, you get some going after Christmas every single
season. If you can put your Rams bottom hat on momentarily.
Not allowed.
Don't leave momentarily. At one point in time, Ramsbottom were in that title picture.
It's not an excuse, but we were going on three fronts in cups as well. We was in the trophy. We got to the first round proper against Stockport. We got to quarters against Coles in the Lancashire Cup, and we was also obviously in the Doosan Cup. And I think it was a little bit of a victim of our own success in the terms of we played one league game out of eight. So all of a sudden, all these sides who we had a bit of a gap on were winning and went past us. And I think coming out of them cup games. We lost a couple of league games. They just fell away, and we've not played. Well, they haven't played now for 3 or 4 weeks.
And this is always my banker question that I always ask managers: would you rather be in Skem's position where you've got the points on the board, or would you rather be FC where you've got?
It's funny how everyone's saying about FC, which I agree with, by the way, being the favourites to go and win the league. But they're 14 points behind. 14 points is a hell of a lot of points to make up. And when you think about Skem, only got 12 games left in the season. We're in January. They've got a dozen games to play. I don't know. I'd sooner be. Because it's FC United and they do what they do every single year, come in late, I'd probably sooner be them. If it were anybody else, I'd rather be Skem, I think.
Now, while everyone was talking then, Stu, you showed me Ilkeston's website, just reminding me that we should talk about Ilkeston. I'm assuming that's why you're showing me the website. What are your views on Ilkeston's chances?
Last month, you asked everyone in the opinion who's going to win it, and I said Ilkeston. And since then, they've not won that many. I think they've won out of six league games. They've won two and drawn.
Keep cursing them, young man. Keep cursing them for us.
So I don't know. I might have put the mockers on them there, but they've drawn four out of the last six league games, and they've got a big test against FC United.
This match, so this weekend, is arguably going to be one of the big games of the weekend. We'll turn to Salford v Darlington in a minute, right? But FC against Ilkeston, for a lot of people now, if you exclude Skem and Buxton and Curzon and Workington and Ashton United and Blyth
and Grantham,
of course, and possibly Stourbridge, Hills, Owen and Kingsland Town.
But
if you forget them and rule all them out, then perhaps this is one of the big games of the season so far, Ilkeston VSC this weekend at the Tameside Stadium.
Not only is it one of the biggest games of the season, it should be one of the most entertaining games of the season, because Ilkeston, for me, this season, every time I've seen them play, have been excellent. They're really, really good. They've lost quite a number of players, but he's got a Nat Wilson of bringing in some top quality players and replacements, a mixture and blend of youth and experience. And, you know, if anyone wants to go to a game before the games are called off, with the weather this week, it may well be in Curzon, he's more likely to be on than anywhere else one would expect. It's the place to be, with the exception, obviously, of Wrexham versus Torquay, and perhaps even Salford City versus Darlington. But I believe the bar's not open, so I won't bother. I think it'll be a great game of football. But you're right, the teams that are up there because of the quality that they've been providing this season. It's going to be a really tough ask. I mean, I asked them on the line. It's the first time I've done it in five seasons, saying FC would win the league. You know, I did it. You asked me a question, and I said, you know, I thought, just because I see something different in FC this season.
The reason, in my opinion, why Ilkeston won't win the league, and why I don't think,
I've changed my mind since
why I don't think they'll beat FC United, is because they're so young, and because they're on such a good run at the moment. They haven't actually lost the game, I don't think. This, they've had a few draws, but
three out of three, I think. Yeah.
But no, they're No, obviously the young team, and obviously they like to attack. It's the style of playing. You know, they'll get at FC, and I don't think they'll have much joy.
When we was at Ramy early in the season, we went down there. Really, like you said, top football inside, but they only seem to play one way, and it's sort of to win. And like you said, and Aaron, about them being a young side, I think once you get, you go to FC where it's an experienced side who've been there and done it, I think it's a totally different kettle of fish where you have to perhaps go and play a little bit with a different game plan, and I don't know whether they've got that, to be honest.
I think the players he's brought in, I think they've got the capabilities of that. I think FC United have a certain way of playing. They can adapt their game if needs be, but it'll be an entertaining open game of football. I mean, we played for 25 minutes at their place, and we were the better team for the first 20 minutes, and then we had 25 minutes where we went, you know what, I don't think we want to be in the next division, and we were absolutely awful. They scored four goals like that, and luckily we've made amends since then. So, you know, the record of 23 conceded is testament to that, because four of them were in that game. But it will be a very, very good game. But again, I mean, the likes of Ashton.
I was going to ask, that's going to be my next question. Is there anyone really who's going to nail this top five? Who's going to say that these teams are definitely going to firstly win the league, and these teams are definitely going to make the playoffs?
I picked my five the other day.
It's far too close. And you've got to look at it. I mean, Ashton United, you would never really have us winning the league. I know I said earlier in the season that I thought they overachieved last year. It looks like they're proving me wrong, to be fair, because, you know, they're back in the mix. You've also got working Toon, who not many people have considered, who are banging form, you know.
Yeah, I just remember what you said at the very beginning of this season about them.
They'll drop off.
I think you said they'll drop out of the league, I think, if you're fair. I think you actually said, that's it, they'll be gone, they're going to do the draws, and I think it was the
comment. No. I said there was potential for it, I didn't say it was
going. Oh, God, these caveats at the end of everything.
don't twist my
anyway,
words.
See your neck.
Rock, ignore him, crack on.
It's impossible to tell, because you've even still got the likes of Rushall, who I think are still in the bottom half of the table, who are actually in a fair bit of form themselves, you know, and they're starting to creep
can
back.
You throw Rushall in?
Into the playoff mix, absolutely. Not as the title race. I think
anyone,
the title race
anyone
is
for Rushall?
Two or three.
Anyone for Rushall? No?
Well, I did not say at the beginning of the season, Rushall at the beginning of the season were one of those teams, you know, where Richard Sneakers was coming as the manager, and it was one of those seasons for him. He was going to do brilliantly well, or he's going to find his feet. I think they'll finish mid-table. If you want anyone to stick their neck on the line in regards to the top five...
Oh, I do.
I think Skem will be in there.
No.
I think Ilkeston will be in there. I think Curzon will be in there. FC will be in there. And Ashton will be in there. I missed Workington then, didn't I?
You did.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
So, good luck when you go to Cumbria in April.
So you can't work it out then?
No, I can't work it out. Apologies. Yeah. Apologies. I think Barwell are sneaking, you know. So out go Buxton. Buxton are out. Curzon are out. There we go. Curzon out. Buxton out. In come Workington and in come Barwell.
James Hayes. Yeah,
you know nothing.
James Hayes.
Yeah, I think looking at the last couple of weeks as well, FC, especially last weekend, FC is getting a big winners recently. Looking at the results last week, Workington, most of the top teams in the top half have dropped points. Workington advantage. Workington fantastic form, but lost 3-2 to Ashton United. Curzon again dropping points. It's just everywhere at the moment. There's no form whatsoever, and it's working in FC United's favour, who are getting the wins
now.
In
a minute we're going to speak to Gavin Kaner, who's the journalist down in West Norfolk, not North Norfolk, West Norfolk, and we'll be discussing Kingsland Town, because I figured Kingsland Town, we said Rushall, but I think Kingsland Town are borderline potential outsiders, only 10 points behind, you know. But
we've won one away game all season, and you need a better away form than that to challenge for the playoffs.
And you know what? I don't want to ruin the interview, but that's what Gavin said.
And I don't
anyway.
They've got Thompson. Thompson's got Chester, but Leo Metton, who scored 44 goals last season for Worksop, has joined them. And if he starts firing, which he could do, but I think it's beyond them, Ben.
Stourbridge, Hales, Owen. What do you reckon? In with a chance still?
Ailes Owen, the toughest game we had at Ramy with this season at Ailes Owen away. Really organised side.
I fancy Ailes Owen to come close. Maybe not quite get there, but I think they'll come close.
And Laura, what's your take on it all?
I just think it's so difficult to try and make any sort of judgement. I know people always sort of say you get a good idea of the league table after Christmas, but looking at the number of games everyone's played, it's so wide open. in a way, I'm kind of glad that's not the league that we're involved in, because I just think I think it's probably easier in our league to kind of have an idea. It's so open there. I think if one team has a little bit of a blip or someone goes on a fantastic run, as FC are want to do, then I think it's anyone's for the playoffs from sort of 10.
I mean, I hate this time of year trying to predict this league because of what you say. But
yeah. It's even harder at the beginning, though, isn't it? We have to do it every month. This usually win the league. I mean, it's harder at the beginning of the month than it, the beginning of the season than it is now.
But there's absolutely no consistency at all, is there? There's not even only one or two teams who've played a few less.
There's no one pulled away.
No one's pulled away.
But in the next couple of months, they've all got to play each other as well. Like FC got to play Workington twice. Ashton have got to play Buxton, I think, and they're all going to take points off each other, and by next month I think we'll have a clearer picture, but I think we said that last month.
I was just going to say, you normally say that after Christmas, don't you? You still haven't got a clip.
Curzon, they're the ones that are going to drop out.
I think Skim will drop out. The news this week, obviously, the chairman's resigned from the board and stuff like that, so we don't know if they've got money issues or whatnot. They've lost another player today, so I don't know, has that affected them? Are they going to lose a few players? I think we played too many games. Are people going to catch up on them? Are they going to drop out of it?
You'd say they'd probably need 20 points again to get in the playoffs.
That's the advantage that they've got, that they've got points on the board. That's
12 games.
That's a cracking point, you're right. They've got 62 points on the board. They've only got how many games to go? That's 12 games. They've got 12 games to go. They pick up, you know, half of them as results. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple as that. They are in the playoffs, so you know, that's why I won't discount them. They're going to be in there.
You're playing, I suppose, as well, don't you? Now, we're going to break now for a beer. Coming up next is Gavin Kaner, who's a sports reporter from West Norfolk. Just to say, a little inside the interview, this fits, everyone was thinking it.
We played it before, didn't we?
Just to give you a little insight to this interview, we discussed promotion and relegation for Kingsland, so this works out quite well. So that's the end of part one. Coming up next, though, Gavin Kaner, after that, it's relegation. Right, we're now joined by a very special guest, a sports reporter for the Eastern Daily Press. It's Gavin Kaner. Hello, Gavin, how are you?
I'm not bad, mate. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. And we've got you on because you're from an area of the Northern Premier League I like to call down south. you're the reporter who's responsible for Kingsland Town and covering Kingsland Town. So how's the season been?
It's been a bit of a mixed one, really. And I think some of the difficulty now is the raised expectations that came early doors. This is obviously the Linnets' second season in the Northern Premier League.
Yes.
And we tend to be known as the Southerners because of where Lynn are based. They've got some long old journeys in the league. And after winning sort of three of the four first games, I think hopes were there that that Lynn could have a serious push for the playoffs. They were fifth at the start of November, but things have certainly tailed off a lot since then. The Linnets now sit 12th, and they've only won two of their last 12 games in the league. And that sort of feeling of disappointment has grown over the last 7 days with the loss of two key players, one in the shape of Jake Jones, who moved to Hales Owen at the start of this week. And last week was an even bigger blow with top scorer George Thompson moving on to Chester.
Kingsland Town are a relatively new club, but obviously you've come from a much bigger pedigree than that. Kingsland Town, where do you see yourselves being? Where do you think you should be as a club?
It's one of those difficult things, really. I mean, people tend to hark back to the days before Lynn went bust, when they had a season or two in the Conference North. And I think with the size of the gates at that point in the town, the size of the town as well, and the fact that there's only one professional football club in Norfolk, which is Norwich City.
Yeah.
And after them, like it or not, Kingsland Town are the second biggest club. So there's a number of people that believe or harbour ambitions that Lynn should be in and around the Conference, or at least the Conference North. But the reality is, for me, you've only got to look at how long it's taken FC United to try and get out of the Evo Stick Premier Division. It's one of the hardest Step 3 leagues to get out of in the country. And I think Lynn are where they should be now. The gates aren't what they once were. The club obviously went bust because they were chucking money about that they couldn't afford. That's not happening anymore. So I think Lynn are at the level that they probably should be. And there will be some fans that disagree, but I think they need to understand that this is a very, very hard league to get out of. And geographically, Lynn are always going to find it hard to attract players that are going to want to maybe go away and play up at places like Workington and Skelmersdale, because it's a long old poke from out this way.
If we talk about the attendances, though, you are either the second or the third, depending on where Stourbridge is at the moment. Big attendances, though, 500 and odd, pretty much the same as Chorley was, really. So
no, I would agree. And I think that's maybe some of the issue. I mean, you look at the average attendances now, FC United dwarf everybody. But before the club went bust, Lynn were averaging 800-900, mm-hmm. which is big. When they were then reformed in the United Counties League at Step 5, they were still averaging them sort of crowds. So I think there are fans that look at that and think, hang on a minute, there's 300-400 fans that have gone missing. And I think that's where people connected with Lynn tend to look and think that their gates are down.
Yeah.
But the fact is, there are at least 21 other clubs in the EvoStick Premier Division that would like Lynn's gates. And I'm sure there are at least 10, 15 non-league clubs that we also cover yeah. that would love Lynn's gates. But by their standards, an average of 542 is low. But I think that's where we are now. I think it's harder for football clubs to get fans through the gates. And I think that's where we are now, around 500 and something sort of hardcore and floating fans will arrive for the big games.
Now, you mentioned travelling earlier. Obviously, there's Kings in town. There's teams like Workington and Blythe and Whitby who are a bit out on the limb from the central NPL belt. How difficult is the travelling?
Well, for me personally...
Well, I know for you personally, you don't bother, do you? But...
No, for me personally, I certainly used to be sent to the away games when Lynn were in the UCL. And even when they then got promoted in EvoStick Division 1 South, I covered all of the games there and put in some decent miles. But as a newspaper, we decided that it wasn't necessarily worth the expenditure going to some of these away games. So we tend to either get people involved with the club or freelancers to do it for us. So I've only been to a couple of away games in the last season or so, sort of some of the shorter journeys like Stamford. Mm-hmm. But I think you only need to look at Lynn's away record this season, which is absolutely woeful. Even the manager, Gary Setchell, would admit that. They've not won in the league since the opening day. And we're now looking at 12 matches since then, and there's still no away win. So unless it's a completely psychological thing, for me, there has to be some sort of issue there that the players are on the bus for a long time, travelling up to these games, and I don't know whether they're starting slow. I know they've conceded early goals in quite a few of the games when we've read the reports back that have come in. And for a while, sides had struggled coming to Norfolk. Lynn had a really good home record until the last few weeks where it's tailed off slightly. So, yeah, I do think the distance has an issue. We also cover Lowestoft Town in the Conference North. Lord only knows how they got placed in there, but they only won their first away league game at the weekend. So the distances have got to be something to do with their poor records on the road for me.
But you're only 10 points off the playoffs and there's a lot of inconsistency above you. Do you reckon the playoffs is a possibility, even if it's a slim chance?
Well, this is one of these things. I mean, I also do a podcast for our paper and we had a couple of lads on chatting about the Linnets and we said we need to make the decision again sort of mid-February. And this is where the season is at the moment, really. Lynn are 10 points off the playoffs, but 10 points off the relegation zone or in and around the relegation zone at least. And that's the reality. I mean, I don't really know which way the season's going to go. If the form continues as it is at the moment, right now, Lynn will be looking over their shoulders and getting sucked in. Now, I don't think they're going to get involved in a relegation battle, but it does look from the outside that it is going to be a mid-table season and a mid-table finish. But with a couple of wins quickly, and if Gary Setchell brings in a couple of players, then two, three wins here or there, and they're right back in it. Do you know what I mean? I think this is... We've been saying it for a little while that it's a pivotal part of the season, and it really is. And if they go and win at Marine on Saturday and eventually end this away sort of curse, then who knows? Lynn have a tendency to prove people wrong. They were never expected to win EvoStick Division 1 South. They were a million miles behind Colville and caught them up and won the league. So I'm going to look like a right nugget in April or May if Lynn finish about fifth or sixth. But
That's the perils of being a journalist, you see,
it
Gavin.
Is, yes. It is.
Gavin, sports reporter for the Eastern Daily Press. Thanks for joining us on the NPL show. Would you like to give a plug either Twitter or the podcast you do.
So I'm going to try and sell myself very poorly. but if you want any updates from King's Lynn Town, you can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Caney. That's G-A-V-I-N-C-A-N-E-Y. In terms of any other EvoStick Premier Division news from in and around the walks, www.edp24.co.uk/sport. And in terms of my podcast, it's not always involving non-league football and the Linnets, but there are certainly plenty of episodes that do. That's called the West Norfolk Sports Podcast, and that's pretty easy to find, www.edp24.co.uk/WNSP. It's not always brilliant. I'm not always the best, but I try hard. So that's enough for me.
What a beautiful plug. Gavin, thanks for joining us, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for January's edition of the EvoStick NPL show. Right, round the table, we've got the great and good of the Northern Premier League. We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Hello.
Speaking of groups, from the Trinity Media group, we've got Aaron Flanagan.
Hello.
We've got Anthony Johnson from Salford City.
Hello.
Got Laura Flint, also from Salford City.
Hello.
We've got Swampy from Five Live on the radio station known as SCM Radio.
Good evening.
And from the Non-League Review, which you can visit and look at and get more hits than SCM Radio, we've got Stuart James.
Hello.
It feels weird not having him next week.
Yeah. I'm not bitter. Right. I'm not bitter about that news about you getting more hits than SCM Radio, by the way. Anyway. Right, part two, otherwise known as the doom and gloom round, relegation. Laura, what do you reckon?
Looking at the table, sort of contradicting what we were saying earlier, really, which was that at the top it looks like such a difficult sort of league to call because everything's so open, the number of games that have been played, it's not taken shape at the top of the league, whereas the opposite appears to be the case at the bottom. The number of games that have been played by teams are quite similar. There aren't many teams with huge number of games in hand anywhere or anything like that. So I think if I was a fan of one of the bottom four teams there, I'd be concerned.
Okay.
Being diplomatic. I'd be concerned if I was a fan of one of those kind of clubs.
It's about time we had diplomacy on this. The amount of editing I have to do to make everyone sound diplomatic.
That's why they invited me.
Up until this show, it was... We mentioned last season that there was a Drolston and Stafford Rangers last season, and there hasn't been this year. That's looking increasingly unlikely now, that statement, because Belper Town, sorry Trafford, and maybe Marine, it looks a bit curtains for you. Aaron, thoughts?
Yeah, I can't see any of them three getting out of it. Belper can't score goals. Don't score goals, you ain't going to win games. Trafford, it just... isn't working out. They've lost their key players. They've made, in my opinion, poor signings. And obviously they've changed the manager. They've got Graham Heathcote in there now. It's an experienced manager. But the last time Graham Heathcote came down to this level and tried to save a team, it was Stafford, and he got absolutely nowhere. It could be the same again. So I'm not entirely sure whether. Trafford are going to.
Can I just pick up on a point there? I think you can go back to your point. You're saying that Belper can't score goals. They've scored two less than FC United.
Yeah, but recent form.
Conceding wise, yeah.
It means recent form.
But I mean, you know.
I don't think they've conceded. I don't think they've scored in the last three against poor teams as well. If you're not scoring at this point in the season when you need to score and you need to pick up wins, because it. As we say, it's getting to the doom and gloom stage where, you know, a gap is starting to appear. If they're not able to score now, you know, they're going to give themselves too big of a...
I think we're all in agreement, though. I think we have been for a little while about Belper. And obviously, if Belper fans are listening, it's James Stanich's fault. I think Trafford, really, I mean, again, new manager. I think if they're stuck with the manager that's just been replaced in Vorney, and I've got a lot of time for Vorney, I just didn't think they had a different plan B. And that's why that's where they are at this moment in time. If Heathcote can do it... I don't think he will. I think they're planning for next season. Marine are the big shock of the season for me, massively, with a new manager come from Vauxhall Motors, you know, great pedigree, brought players in, some good quality players on paper there, but they just have not started their season. They really, for me, are also in very, very big trouble. And then I think it's between Matlock, Witten won't thank me for this, and Mark Harris, the league chairman, won't thank me for this, but I think they're in serious trouble, and I think it goes as far.
Well,
Nantwich.
Sorry to do that weird noise. Just to say, Matlock made huge strides in the last week or so, demolishing Witten last weekend. Was anyone surprised by that result?
Yeah, very.
I mentioned it was a 6-pointer, and Matlock made the most of it. They've now sectioned themselves from the main relegation.
So they're now 4 points behind Witten Albion with a game in hand. That is a cracking result on their part.
Worth mentioning as well, looking at the points per game table, which at some point will come into effect. They're a point, well, I think, the second at the moment out of the three divisions. So,
you know, those teams there, I think Stamford will get out of it because they played 28 games. I think they're going to be okay this season. Nanwich could get drawn back into it because they play 31. They've had a couple of games that have actually, a few weeks ago actually, that sort of got them out of the mire. Witten, though, I think you're right. I mean, you know, two managers, is it two or three managers this season?
Three.
Same as Matlock, they've had their other third manager as well.
But Matlock are bringing in. But we're Witten now, see, I know, Sheehan in the middle, but he didn't, I think he only lasted 5-6 games out. Tony Sullivan's come in now and took his time to get going. But he's turned around. It's only very, very recently they've started kind of losing, dropping points again. Obviously, Matlock games, I don't think anyone could have predicted that they would have gone there.
Three of the four sides at the bottom have all had three managers this season as well. Yeah. I think Belper have had three, haven't they? Matlock have had three. Witten have had three. You know, people panicking, and it shows it doesn't necessarily work. From my sort of perspective, having played against all them sides, I would say four of that bottom five are the worst sides in the league. We played against. I know it sounds an obvious statement, but I think the league sort of paid true on that from what I've seen.
Well, for a long time it was looking like anyone in this league could beat anybody, but that's becoming less evident. Is there anyone above Witten Albion? I know Swampy mentions Nantwich Town, but is there anyone else we'd like to throw into the mix who could get dragged into this?
I saw Stamford 2 weeks ago, and I think going forward they might have had enough about them, but defensively the worst team I've seen this season.
I think they've probably got enough about them, I think, this season.
Does everyone agree with the concept,
only,
though, that now...
the only group that give us beer.
Does everyone... Stu, here's a question for you, then. Do you agree with the idea that now Matlock, there's a glimmer of hope that they can stay up, that them and Witten are going to drag a ton of teams in with them at this point, or is it just between them two, really?
No, I kind of agree with Swampy. I think it can go up to Nantwich Town. I said on the extra show last week, Matlock v Witten Albion was a massive 6-pointer. Matlock won it, which closed the gap with the game in hand, and Witten's poor goal difference compared to theirs, that could drag them out of it, but Witten have had the better form up until then. But like I say, Nantwich have played a couple of games more, they could get dragged into it if Matlock...
Nantwich looked good as well in recent weeks.
Yeah, they did. FC United as well. I was following you guys on Twitter and the radio, and you're saying how well they played against them when you got that game on at Stalley Bridge.
Just missing Huskies.
I'll be honest with you, the pitch wasn't the best, but they were the best team.
Yeah.
The worry I have now for Nantwich is that they've lost Aaron Burns.
Yeah.
They're also losing other players who are going to leave that football club. Josie is gone. He wasn't figuring a huge amount in the latter part of the season. Josie's been not fit. Well, that's according to some programme notes from the manager. Their manager, not FC United's manager.
Oh, right, stop digging.
And I think Nantwich are going to get dragged right into it, because if they lose two or three more players, which quite possibly could, they're going to really struggle to lose a goal scorer who scored 16-17 goals. Aaron Burns against FC was superb.
Just picking up on Nantwich there, I followed the tweets from the FC game as well, and that seemed to be a bit of a common theme for them, where they've said they're playing really good stuff but not getting the results. And I think if there was anything to worry about for Nantwich, it's probably that. The fact that they are playing good football, so they're obviously one of the better teams in the league, and other fans are saying you deserve the 3 points there, and they've still lost. That's probably the main worry for them. Not that they're not performing, just that the results aren't going their way.
I think if they played anybody else apart from FC on that day, they would have won that game. I really do believe that.
We played Nantwich a couple of weeks ago, and they beat Rami 3-2. And in fact, we played them three times. They beat us twice. I thought they were a decent side, mate. I'll go back to the Stamford thing. They've won 4 games in 23. Now you can say what you want, moving the ground. That is some bad run, that, isn't it?
But still playing at the old ground, that's the problem.
Yeah, right.
<Okay. laughs> all the points there.
Just to try and drag in a few more teams, just for the hell of it, for the fun of it. Frick Athletic,
perennial.
Oh, you're going to get relegated at the start of the season. This season proving everyone wrong, and they're a bit like Buxton, though, aren't they? On the surface, whenever I look at Frickley, they're not stringing any results together, but they're still there or thereabouts, staying above water.
I think it's a case of other teams there as well. They're not getting the results. Frickley at least getting what wins every now and again.
Keep Gavin Allock fit, they stay up.
Yeah.
And the other thing about them, they're in a better position they have been for the last three seasons at 17th spot.
And anyone for Whitby Town? Anyone? Is that
no, would be safe.
And a team, obviously, who were up at the top towards the start of the season, Ramsbottom United. Been a very turbulent couple of months for them, but thankfully for them, they've had a lot of time to rebuild because they've not had a game on in months, it would appear.
Well, they lost a team as well. See, where they went, but they lost an entire team.
Hey, what's the elephant in the room?
It's like, who's going next?
But anyway, Ramsbottom United. No, I'm not going to ask you, but no chance above Frickley, we're saying. Is that the NPL
Rami
shows?
Rami have got too many games in hand. They're bound to be alright.
I think it's more a case of the teams that are down there now probably don't have enough to catch them, rather than the other team drop. I just think, especially the bottom three in Belper, Marine and Trafford, I just don't think they'll have enough to catch up the points.
I want to say one thing about Marine though. I read somewhere this week that they've increased the playing budget by 30% to try and get out. So they know they're in trouble. They're increasing the playing budget. Can they get anyone to help them get out?
From a managerial point of view, it is February now. Can you throw money at the problem and
it's
stay
attracting
up?
For me, it's attracting the players. You're still third bottom. Generally, the better players are playing near the top of the table. Do you want to get in a dogfight?
I think this. I'm sticking my neck on. I think they'll survive.
You would say that. You tip.
Right. I'm so sorry, Marine. That is you officially relegated. I do apologise. Right. Dutton. Anyone? Dutton. Dutton.
I said my bit last week.
It's our break now, don't we?
Anyway, I'll, just for John Robinson, his first game at Ramy last night. It's a great win. Obviously, Northwich top of the North, and to have to put a new team together. I think it's a fantastic result. And I made up for the lad, you know, obviously played for us for 6 years and he's hit the ground running. They hadn't won for five games when we were there and all of a sudden he's took over and it's a great result.
Not just that though, he's had to wait 3 weeks to get that first game under his belt since you and Byrne have left, so he's been itching to get going and then he goes and beats top of the league like that and gets a good win. That
James?
Yeah, I'm going to add on to what I said last week in the extra, obviously, about Ilkeston and being potentially being the only Premier. Now Ramy's still in it. Depending on the semi-final draw, we might be looking at the two finalists there because Spennymoor are out now, and they were one of the teams I'd say we look forward. Lancaster and Fars are going to be looking potentially to go forward. So
just to say what the ties are in February, Tuesday the 10th, we've got Ramsbottom United against Harrogate Railway Athletic. Tuesday the 17th, Farsley against Lancaster City and Ilkeston against Spalding. And on Wednesday the 25th, it's North East South. It's Leek Town against Warrington Town. Who do you think?
I think Leek will beat Warrington. Yes. I think Leek are watched them several times this season. They had a 2-2 draw at the week.
And then it kind of all depends on the draw, who's going to make the final.
I say Ilkeston should be favourites for it, I'd have thought.
I think it's between. Absolutely. I can see either Ilkeston possibly, but again, they're looking at the league.
I fancy Warrington to. They might surprise Leek. So they've had a little turn of form recently.
They've also proved that they're quite a good cup side, haven't they?
Yeah.
In a one-off game.
Oh, yes. I mean, we're going to cover Division 1 North and South later, but promotion's not likely, is it, for Warrington at the moment? So
no,
they might as well.
They've got an outside chance of sneaking the playoffs, but nothing more than an outside chance now. They might as well put a bit of effort in there, and they've shown that from the results that they've picked up already in that competition. I know they're only the Dutton. They went to Workington and won. They went to Rushall and won. So they've proven that they can do it. There's no reason why they can't beat Leek.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're all ties I'd like to go and see. They're all good quality ties. You know, and he'll want to win something this season. If he's not going to get promoted, he'll want to win something this season because, you know, there's been a lot of money invested in the football club. They've won a lot of money through the FA Cup as well, and he'll want something at the end of it. There needs to be a reward at the end of that so he can buy another jumper.
Middle management jumper as well.
Middle, very much, yes.
We'll cover the Dudeson and where we are on next month's show, but while we're talking about cup competitions, Swamper, FA Trophy, FC United, still in it.
Yeah.
Remarkably. FC United are now the lowest ranked side in the competition. Torquay away, what do you reckon?
Nothing to fear, nothing at all to fear. I mean, there was a big worry. We were playing Fylde, and I looked at that, and I think we discussed it, whether it was Fylde or whether indeed it was going to be Telford. And either or, I wasn't particularly that bothered. And the game on Saturday, people called and said, oh, we went to see Fylde on Tuesday. Oh, we're going to get murdered. And I've got it on the phone. I texted my father the night before, and he said, tough game. And I went, yeah. I said, we'll beat them. Because the one thing about Conference North football, and I'll keep saying this, I said it on Five Live, and I say it every time I get the opportunity, the game's a lot slower. They want more time on the ball. If you've got the kind of quality and the pace of FC United and you get in front of players, then you're going to win games of football. And it wasn't a coincidence, and it wasn't a fluke that we beat them, and we actually annihilated them the first 45 minutes. Torquay will be a slightly different proposition. They're an ex-league club that have come down. You know, they're looking to get promoted this season in 13th spot at this moment in time, but they've got games in hand.
They're mid-table, aren't
they? They are mid-table, but you know, but for their fans, they're really looking forward to it. They turned around and said, you know, we want to win and go to Wembley this season. The pressure's all on them. No one has expected FC United to go all the way down to Torquay and to beat them. But I think personally, they'll be looking at us. They'll be watching lots of videos and the way we play. The scouts will be up, and we watch them. And I don't think we'll. I think we'll come away with something there.
So, James, is this the break that you were expecting FC United to take this season?
More than well, yeah. Well, now I'm just looking more forward to seeing Helen Chamberlain cry on Sky Sports and Sky.
I forgot
Sports
she'll be there. Yeah, exactly. We'll get her on. Anyone else to mention anything about cups and stuff? Any other business about this?
The FC thing as well. I think you've got to remember. No matter where they go, playing in front of big crowds, where say it was a club like, you know, one of the lower down the levels, what FC are from, you could be overawed by it. FC play in front of big crowds every week. So going to a Torquay in front of 2,000, 2,500 people, maybe a little bit more because they're late on in the cup, they're not going to be overawed by it. It's something they're used to every week. I think, like you said then, they go down there, they can enjoy it.
If anything, Torquay are going to want to fear, because they're not going to be expecting as many a team lower down to bring in as much knowledge with them.
It's going to be a loving on the Riviera, that's what it's going to be.
That is the end of part number two of the EvoStick NPL show. Coming up next, well, guess who I've interviewed? I've interviewed someone from Darlington. Why have you interviewed someone from Darlington? Here you cry. Got two people from Salford here. Thought I'd balance it out quite nicely for this weekend. Ignore you, Ilkeston VFC United. This is the match in the Division 1 North, and we'll be discussing Division 1 North, Darlington and Salford City, and all things Division 1 North, as well, of course, your beloved Division 1 South, after these messages.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Right, to discuss the big match of the weekend. I know people think it's Ilkeston FC United, but it's not really. It's Salford City against Darlington. And from Darlow Fans Radio, it's Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andrew. You okay?
Yeah, fine, thank you.
Just to let people know that you're not the Andrew Simpson who covers Witten Albion. You're a different Andrew Simpson. Just to
clarify. That's correct. Yeah.
So how's your preparations going as a fan, as a radio commentator for this weekend's big match? Are you excited?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, obviously a big game, top of the table clash. I've got all my equipment sorted and I'm ready to go.
This season, at the moment, it's difficult to tell where Darlington are, other than to say you're in the slipstream of Northwich and Salford, but with a number of games in hand. Would you say that this is a real six-pointer, or is it Salford's to lose, really?
I don't think it's not a must-win game for either side. Mm. But obviously, if you win, the momentum and that, you'll benefit from it.
So you think this game's going to be one for the momentum, people?
Yeah, I think it'll be a tight game. I think obviously both sides are really good. Darlington have a strong defence and Salford have a lot of good players.
And what do you think are your chances in this one?
Well, given our, we're what, 16 unbeaten in the league at the minute, hopefully we can keep that going.
You've already played them at home, got beat 1-0. What was that game like? Are you expecting something similar this time round?
Yeah, I'm expecting a tight game again. Darlington were missing a couple of players that day. There was two or three defenders missing and a couple of midfielders. So we're playing a couple of players out of position, but it was, like you say, it was a really tight game. Both sides had chances.
Obviously, last season, new to the league. This season, are you a lot more confident about going up? And do you want to go up as a club, or is it more, you know, see how things go at this moment in time?
As a club, we want to go up, yeah. But like I say, we can't take anything for granted in this league. There's no easy games.
And what do you think for, let's take a step back from in the league this season. Darlington as a club, obviously, huge pedigree. Is it promotion, promotion, promotion now, or steady as she goes generally in the coming years as a club?
From our point of view, I think it's very steady as it goes. Obviously, in the past, we've had big problems and we don't want to go down that route again. We just want to be stable, have a club to support, and obviously promotion would be nice, but you say it's just good to have a club as well after what happened a couple of years ago.
And this weekend, Darlow Fans Radio will be commentating on the match.
That's correct, yeah.
And yeah. This is your chance then to give a plug, because you're going to have a lot of listeners, I think, from all over the place, assuming the match is on, of course.
But hopefully it will be.
So give a plug out for Darlow Fans Radio and what you do.
Yeah, it's just through shoutcast.com. If you search for Darlow Fans, they'll start about 2:40, 3:15, and the country will start at 5:00 to 3:00. No, try and be as impartial as I can.
Well, on behalf of everyone here on the Evo Stick MPL show, we wish you all the best for this weekend. We'll see how it goes. But like you say, this league this season's fascinating, isn't it? Because there's yourselves, there's Salford City, there's Northwich Victoria, there's Spennymoor as well, who aren't completely out of it. Who do you think are your main rivals other than Salford City and Northwich Victoria? Do you think there's anyone around you who might push on late in the day?
Scarborough seem to be doing quite well at the minute.
Right. Well, Andrew Simpson from Darlow Fans Radio, all the best, mate.
Thank you very much.
Nice one, mate. I'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for January's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show. Round the table, there's a load of people, but the most important person at this moment in time is James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, sponsored by Evo Stick, because, James, we've been seeking correspondence. This is where the non-league NPL community get in touch with us and tell us that we're rubbish, we don't give them enough exposure. What has the NPL community said?
Right, so tonight's question was, what's your January been like? First person coming in, Andy Cuntash, hanging on in at the top of the end at the moment with from Darlington. We've got Spenny fan Chris, again on Twitter. Been a good month for Spennymoor, big win for Northwich on the 10th of January, enjoying the first season back in the NPL. John Haig, Ilkeston fan. Ilkeston need to improve quickly if they're to win the title. He was expecting a lot better on Monday night. Trevor Oakley, despite only playing two games in 2015, Darlow in good shape. Massive game against Salford. Lloyd from Warrington, in form this month with three wins, hoping to keep the good run up. And then Stamper.
Hey, good old Stamper. Thanks for the beer, mate.
He said it's not too great, to be honest. And then finally, from Terry Smith from Farsley. If I was the other Niffy month, beat Harrogate Railway, lost at New Mills, beat Radcliffe, who doesn't, won a cup game against Sheffield, and then everything else was postponed. For the norm.
May I congratulate that listener? Not a lot of people say iffy anymore, and I think it's an underused word. Anyway, thank you, dear listener, for that piece of correspondence. Right, so, where do we start? We normally start with Division 1 South, but they've come all the way from Salford. We've got to make it worth a while. Laura Antoinette, what the big match this weekend, Salford against Darlington. Winner might not necessarily take all, if you're listening from Charles and Northwich, that's not what we're saying, but this is a big game, isn't it? What's your take on it?
Well, I called it a huge game on our Twitter account and then was contradicted by our manager that it's not a huge game.
Don't have a fan on there, come on.
I feel as a fan, it's a huge occasion. I'm allowed to say that, aren't I? It's a huge occasion for both teams, I think. I think that's come from Darlington as well. Obviously, they've got a lot of games in hand on us, but it is tight at the top. So all we can do is obviously win as many games as we can, hope they drop points, and maybe a win on Saturday would give us a bit of momentum. It would also just be really, really great to get another win.
Anthony?
Yeah, it's a big game for the league. Everyone's building it up. I get that, and I take it as well. But
is this helpful, this show, this week?
Do you know what? Of course it is, because obviously, you know, two of the top three sides are playing. But for me, you know, as I said on Twitter last night to Laura, it's a huge test. We're going up against, I've seen Darlington twice, they're the best team I've seen. They're the biggest club in the league as well. They missed out last year, and they look like they're learning a lot of lessons. So for me, it's a big test for our team. Now, I know all the things surrounding Salford this season. I understand, again, I get all that. But, you know, with a change in management this week, this month, with me and Byrne coming in, it's going to take time for us to put our own stamp on things. Now, listen, we want to win promotion as much as every single Salford City fan, and as much as everyone thinks we're going to win, you know, win the league and promotion. But these games against Darlington, you know, they're bringing 800, 900 people down. That tells you exactly how much of a big game it is for them. You know, we're under no illusions, but we're going to go in there and try and enjoy ourselves. It's a big test for us, but as I just said then, we'll go and try and enjoy it. We'll try and win the game, but you know, if we don't, it's not the end of our season. You know, if Darlington win the game, it's theirs to lose. So we're going to enjoy the sort of weekend and all the build up to it and a big crowd with it, because I'm sure it'll be the biggest crowd Salford have had for a couple of years anyway.
Now, Anton, at this point of last season, I think it was roughly about this time, John Flanagan had an away trip up to Darlington, and it was a make or break big game. And John Flanagan took the, it was in his right, he took the opportunity to play some kind of weird mind games. The floor is yours if you'd like to. Can I just say, our audience doubled that podcast. It was very helpful. Anyway, what do you reckon then, everyone else around the table, to this match? Does everyone feel sorry for Northwich Victoria?
Not at all, no. That's only a personal opinion. There's nothing wrong with the players or anything else like that. And, you know, they've. Northwich Victoria have had a tremendous season. They really have, you know, they've got a league manager, an ex-league manager there, and Jim Gannon doing tremendously well for them. I actually think it's a game that Darlington can certainly afford to lose. I don't think it will really affect their season a great deal. It's a huge game in the respect of two teams vying for top spot in reality, but I think they can afford to lose this one, Darlington. I don't think Salford can.
The impressive thing for Darlington is actually the goals scored and the number of games they've played. They're scoring a hell of a lot of goals per game there.
With Darlow again, they're desperate to get out of this league. They're absolutely desperate to get out. And I don't mean that. No, it's not me trying to play any games. They're a massive club, you know, in terms of probably in the wrong league, you know, in terms of the size of the support and things like that. So, you know, they need to get out of this league this season. They come close last season.
They should have been up last year, shouldn't they?
I mean, they got nowhere near Curzon last season, if we're in all honesty. But they finished second. They want to go one better. The way they're going to do that is by beating us on Saturday. I think it's wrapped up for them.
Interesting mind games you're playing there, Anthony. No mind games. Let's talk about the playoffs. If we assume that it's either going to be two or three of between Northwich, Salford and Darlington in the playoffs, who's going to take...
That's quite clearly, it's between them three.
Who's going to take the remaining two spots then? Because that's quite feisty at the moment. You've got Harrogate Railway, Spennymoor, Drolsden, who were title challengers at one point a couple of months ago, but now have dropped down a bit. Scarborough Athletic are in the mix. You've got Farsley, and you've even got Mosley, which I suppose I should come to you at that point, Aaron.
Yeah, no, I'm
not for Mosley, but generally.
Well, no, I was going to mention Mosley today anyway. They're having an absolutely phenomenal season compared to what anyone would have expected them to this year. Obviously, Peter Band's in charge there, and they've just done phenomenally well. It looks like they're very tough to beat at home, as you'd expect when obviously Mosley's as an away team. It's not a ground you want to go to, especially on obviously at this time of year when the pitch is bad. They've got them. Old changing rooms, it's a tight little tunnel.
The way changing room is
the smallest rooms you'll go in normally, you know, and you've got to try and pile a whole team in there, you know.
Just to say, in doing my research for today's show, because believe it or not, I do a bit.
No, you don't.
Kind of. Spennymoor Town, if you look at their upcoming fixtures for the next month, they've got a. Not to be disrespectful to the team Spennymoor playing the next month, but it's pretty cushy for them.
I think they will.
One of the best teams we've played this season. We drew at their ground and we were unbelievably lucky to draw away, and that's earlier in the season when we were in really, really good form. We were playing fantastic football, we were winning we were still unbeaten then, and we were about to lose the unbeaten record. We were so lucky to draw there. I think they're strong contenders.
Spennymoor, that had to creep up there at the moment, and I think they could finish in the top three, personally.
You've always got to have expected that Spennymoor are going to move. Yeah. At the end of the day, they've come up for the Northern League, and any team that's going to request promotion from the Northern League... they're going to be throwing a bit of money at it.
They've got a few quid behind them. That's definitely
good fan base as well. Really good fan
base. Yeah, real good.
Division 1 South now.
There's a South?
There is a South. Don't say that.
Hold on, what about relegation?
What about relegation?
We've not mentioned Warrington yet.
Where's the fine? Paddy,
if you want to see the league table so you can see your side and sit at home worrying about relegation, then please, by all means, do. But it's now time to...
We can't concentrate on just...
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Well, imagine Sooney being here now and saying, we're not going to talk about that.
I'm taking full advantage of my editing time and moving to Division 1. Yes.
I was going to say, next extra we'll spend 5 minutes on relegation.
Okay. Right. Division 1 South, then, boys and girls. And it's now time to turn our eyes to the
Trafford have signed. Trafford have signed Adam Jones and Aston Mulholland.
Aston Mulholland? Interesting. Right. It's now time to draw our eyes to the exciting league that is...
League Town!
Division 1 South.
Sutton Coldfield.
Now, Newcastle Town have made a move. Yeah. They've made a move on the top. Who's been predicting Newcastle Town? Someone has. Stuart James, get on the microphone. Come on, take credit.
No, I've seen them twice this season, Newcastle Town, and both times they were all right. They've got two good players there that have been on trial. They've been trundling along. They've got a good relationship with Port Vale and stuff like that. And was it at the start of the season we were talking Micklover, was it, Aaron?
Yeah,
we were bigging them up. They had a load of games in hand. They're not taking advantage of them. There's still 7 points the difference. And I know they've got...
Six games in hand.
We talked about it a million times. Do you want games in hand or do you want points on the board?
Yeah. Well, let's discuss Micklover because there's something interesting about to happen in the next few weeks. Micklover are playing Spalding United on Saturday the 14th of February. And on Saturday the 21st, they've got Newcastle Town away. Boom. Anyone excited?
Well, it's exciting. It's exciting because they score a lot of goals, Newcastle Town, and it's testament to the management there to keep the two players that have gone up to Alloa and chosen to, you know, not stay there and come back to Newcastle. Maybe a deal's been done, we don't know. They say, look, go back to Newcastle, and then, you know, we like the look of it, because I think they wanted to sign them, to be honest. You know, maybe come to play in the Scottish Championship next season. But it's good that they come back. They've scored a lot of goals. They don't concede a huge amount, you know, and they're going to be they won't win the league though.
Well, what we've got in Division 1 South is obviously Newcastle Town and Sutton Coldfield with points on the board. And then some points behind that, you've got Micklover and Spalding just milling around. And then if you go down to 6th, we've got Swampy's favourite team, League Town. League Town's made huge strides in the last month, haven't they? They've been taking points out of the teams above them.
Pretty much.
This is the most open league out of Division 1 North and South, surely?
League for me. They score goals. They've got a good defensive record. They've got... you know, a good ethic of football, and they play 22 games, and I think in a way for me they're a little bit like FC. They're on the momentum with that team once they get going. You know, they missed out last season just again, you know, in the playoffs, and you know, I really think that they're the team that this season will finish the stronger. I think they'll finish top of the division. But Micklover, Spalding, again, they've got games to their advantage, and they're not far off the two top teams in Newcastle and Sutton Coldfield.
Basically, what we're trying to say to you, dear listener, is Division 1 South at the moment is too close to call.
League will win the league.
About four teams that could win it at the moment.
About four teams that could win it.
Stick my neck on the line.
Okay. Oh, was that it? Was that you sticking your neck on the line? I thought you were going to finish.
Newcastle back. Town, Sutton Coldfield, League, Stafford Rangers... and a other.
I'll tell you what we need to do, Ben.
I like that, Ben.
It's because we need people to contribute from the Southern Division to this debate. Yeah.
Just to say, if you thought we were a bit light on the ground with Division 1 South, we do plan later on in the season, potentially March, to come down to your neck of the woods for a little roadshow show.
And Ben, you know what we need
like
to do?
Like Radio 1 used to do in
Ben,
the
go to league. Ben, what we need to do is we need to get the teams from 1... to 22 to tell us why we should come to their ground.
Right, bidding wars, I like it.
They we would decide which club we come to based upon ale.
What happened?
Ale. No, that's what they should do, because we'd like to get involved.
Right, so
Sheffield, you wouldn't.
So here's the thing, right? Division 1 South clubs, if you're listening to this, and why wouldn't you, right? We want to hear from you about why we should come to your town, to your football club, to do this show. In March.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're saying March.
Are we doing this on a Saturday or a midweek?
We'll decide at the time, based upon how far we have to go.
Preferably 21st to 28th.
It might be a Sunday.
It would be risky.
Might be a Friday.
We'd have to do it on a gate.
We've got to go and watch match if we're going down there.
Yeah, got to
learn something.
Okay. Not on Saturday though.
If you want us to come to your club for this show in March, then explain it in 140 characters on Twitter why we should bother to come to your club.
You know what we're going to get, Ben? Don't bother, stay where you are. I don't need you.
On that note, it's now time to draw a line under this month's Evo Stick NPL show.
Torquay's in the south. We start with that.
Again, next extra, I'll do 5 minutes.
So that is the end of this month's show. Thanks for tolerating us for this long, if you've made it this far. Thank you to Stuart James from the Non-League Review.
Cheers.
Thank you to Swamper from Five Live and FCM Radio.
How on earth am I on that show? I don't know.
Thank you. Neither do they.
2 seasons.
Thank you to Laura Flint from Salford City.
Thank you.
Thank you to Anthony Johnson, also from Salford City.
Pleasure.
Thank you from Aaron Flanagan from the Mirror Group.
Thank you.
And thank you to James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, sponsored by EvoStick, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/MPL, or on Twitter at the MPL group, and live coverage of the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Don't be. And a big thank you, Ben, to yourself and indeed the Magnet for hosting such fine ales.
Thank you. So that's the end of this month's show. We'll be back later on in the month, for next month's show, funnily enough. And look out for an Evo Stick Extra next week.
Yeah, man.
But from everyone here at the Magnet, wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your MPL side, make sure that you have fun, yeah? Goodbye.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.